The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good Saturday morning. If you like plants, you're at the right place. This is the Delmarva Potting Shed, and we're live here at East Coast Garden Center. And I am Valerie Cordry, and I'm sitting next to Lawrence at the controls and Fran back at the studio. And I was taking my time because Rick just flew in and is taking a seat and putting on his headphones and joining us for our for the next 2 hours. You'll be listening, I hope you'll be listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed from 9 to 11 every Saturday. So glad you could join us, Rick.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I see a bulldog laying in front of us. We're today,
quite a view.
He is as comfortable as can be. He's just sprawled out on the nice, comfortable cement. It's probably a nice, cool cement.
I'm sure.
and enjoying life.
Yes.
So I guess we're in the dog days of summer, right?
Close to it, yeah. I mean, it's been pretty reasonable the last 2 days, but earlier this week it was brutal.
What, yeah.
90 plus?
Well, we were longest day of the year on the 21st, so hooray, hooray. I always look forward to long hours.
You know what's
hours.
The worst part of the longest day of the year?
I know. We start getting shorter after
right.
that. I don't like that.
I know you didn't.
But we still have lots of summer left, so that's wonderful. The longest day of the year, the summer solstice. And then, you know, there's two different kinds of summers. You have the one that's according to the calendar. So that's June, July, and August. So June 1st is the first day of summer with that one.
Hmm.
And then the other one is the 21st.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I don't
care
as long as summer comes.
Well, it's here.
Yes. So.
And we got a nice rain last night, so that was good.
Yes, we
it
walked
getting,
around
yeah.
and everything saying thank you, thank you.
Yeah, it was getting dry again, believe it or not. So.
Which is hard because I know the farmers have been struggling.
Right.
I saw Jay Windsor this week and he said it was the wettest
May, right?
Yeah, since 1968.
Wow.
So, and I know farmers are having a hard time getting some crops in the fields, or the fields are flooding with the crops in
them.
Yeah,
and there's some crops that aren't going to come back no matter how much rain we get from this point on, because they're already drowned it out.
Yeah, so that's the downside of farming
right.
and being a farmer. And
it's always a risk.
There is risk. But the plants here, particularly if you're in a container, the water just runs right through.
Right.
So unless you're sitting in the low area and you're sitting
you
in
sit
water,
in low areas? Why would you be
you
sitting in a low area?
That reminds me of one of the cutest things. We just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, you thought I was cute? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, I was thinking of sitting in low areas.
Oh, I thought you said.
I went on a garden tour, and there was a couple who were quite wealthy, and so I think sometimes they had run out of ideas for gifts. So they gave each other a bench, and it was a bench where they had the impression of their
backsides.
So there were two little.
So it was imprinted like in concrete.
Yeah,
so
his
they could,
and hers. Sitting bench, and they would sit, and it was exactly so you can't gain any weight, I guess.
Or you can't lose any weight.
It's the yes.
I wonder if they turn into like a bird bath when it rains.
When you're not sitting there, and it
wouldn't
rained,
it collect
it would
water?
Be a bird bath, yeah. So
it could be kind of a wet seat.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, that reminded me of the low seat.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
Got it.
That's where my mind went.
Okay.
So what's new in your world?
Oh, not too much. Landscaping's still really busy. Got a lot of projects in the works. Got a lot of hardscaping we're doing right now, so that's exciting. A lot of people are looking for outdoor venues to extend their, you know, summer season and enjoy being outside and creating patios and fireplaces and fire pits and kitchens and all that kind of stuff. So that's become quite a big part of the landscape division, so that's been exciting. We're finishing up containers, but if you are interested in having any containers bought here at the Garden Center or have us come on site and do your containers, we're still doing that. We're doing Pelican Points Clubhouse on Monday. It's a big project, a lot of containers there, so we're excited about doing that, and that should be open up by the 4th of July. And it's right around the corner from us.
Yeah.
So that's convenient. And then, you know, the normal landscaping stuff. I would say one little tip that would be important to keep an eye on with the rain and the high humidity, keep an eye on your lawn. Make sure that you don't see some disease starting, because once it starts, it's harder to control than if you do a preventive fungicide.
And I always go around to all the people that work here, and I say, what kind of questions have you been getting this week? So it's kind of an indicator of what
they say.
It all has to do with wet, what diseases and what insects. And there
because
are,
of the wet weather we've had?
Yeah, there's the funguses that are out there and the molds and the mildews. And,
right.
So like you said, it's time to go out and do a yard walk.
Yeah, we did a yard walk last night.
Yes, yeah. And
things
so much
change quick this time of year. So quick. I mean, you could go do a yard walk this Saturday and come back next Saturday, and it's amazing how many things have changed.
Well, that's how when I come to the Garden Center, I do. You do too, I see. We walk around, and even from day to day, there's so many changes.
Right. Well, one thing I wanted to do is shout out. I think the gentleman, and I'm so embarrassed because he's called in.
Is it Ed? Thank you.
Is it Ed, the guy that calls in, that's the vegetable gardener that gives us all our great advice?
If you're listening, call us, because we both, I know what you're going to say. We both are so happy.
We always love our zucchini and squash, and every year we plant it, and every year before we can pick Harley the first fruit, it dies. And the reason it dies is because there's a borer that gets in it and destroys the stem, and then it can't absorb the nutrients in the water, so it wilts and dies. It looks like it's dry, but in reality, it's the stem being hollowed out by this borer. Knock on wood, this gentleman said to buy icicle radishes. Don't ask me why, but we did. We listened.
And I meant to pull one up and try one, and I forgot to.
Well, you can do it tonight.
I could. I will.
And we planted our zucchini and squash, and we put a row of icicle radishes right by them, and they are the absolute most beautiful plants to date that we've ever had.
And so a big thank you, many thank yous, and if you're listening, call in, because I want to thank you again
personally.
And so that's a word to others, because we have tried. We tried
everything.
Sinking, well, let's say the things we tried.
Okay.
We tried using a barrier, so taking a pot, cutting out the bottom, putting it down in the ground. So, but the borer
flies in from the top.
Yeah, and they lay the eggs. So that didn't work.
Right.
And you tried some sprays,
which we don't like to do.
And systemic things, and that didn't work. And then of course there's succession planting, but
right.
You by the time you get up and get all excited about it,
well, then we planted some last year really late to try to get some late, and it wasn't long enough season to get the fruit, so we got good plants but no fruit.
Yeah.
So we've been picking zucchini. I think we have like 8 plants, and we've been cutting and eating zucchini every single night since it's come on, and man, we've really enjoyed it.
I am enjoying getting the opportunity to go back in the yard and begin to harvest.
And guess what else we picked yesterday for the first time this year?
Guess what? I have to guess what we
picked. Well, you were there, but your mind might not remember.
I may have forgotten.
Yeah, it's already been 12 hours. You probably forgot.
The raspberries.
But what's the first thing that you always look forward to?
Tomato.
Our first tomato and had it in a salad last night.
Yes.
So that was good.
And I tried for the first time. I'm always wanting to try something I've never had before.
Oh, that's good to know.
Squash. Lawrence, help me here. The squash blossoms. So,
Oh, that's what you wanted to try?
Yes. And I tried it, and
you did?
You were with me.
I know.
So so on your squash plants, there's these beautiful blossoms, and I'd always read the recipe, and I think it's more than a little bit. I got it in a restaurant. I didn't do it myself. But they, and it's very seasonal because the squash blossoms are very delicate. So
they actually took the squash blossom and they filled them with cheese, and then they
ricotta mixture.
And then they, go ahead.
They lightly breaded it and fried it. And
you would think it'd be terrible. But
delicious. It was delicious. So yeah. Another way to use squash.
Right.
So, yummy, yummy.
Yeah, it makes you hungry, huh?
And it hasn't been long enough. I like zucchini bread, too, but our zucchini hasn't had the opportunity.
We're eating it so fast. We probably should have twice as many plants because we don't have enough every night.
You know,
it's just the two of us.
Why don't we buy a plant today and bring it home and add it to the garden since we've been lucky.
Guess what I had while you guys were gone?
What?
Tomato soup, I hope.
Ah, did you like it?
Undala. I think that's how you say it in German. It was wonderful.
You liked it.
Thank you.
Spicy, but it was good.
Well, we have all different batches.
I cried.
Did you? Because it was too spicy or because it was so good?
Both.
Yeah.
We kind of worked up to it. Because
whatever comes off the plants on a particular Saturday is what we put in our soup. And if it's hot peppers, they go in. If it's bell peppers, they go in. If there's no peppers, none go in. But some really spicy.
Oh, Rick, it was spicy.
Rick, for some reason, likes growing hot peppers. And he grows way more. More than we can possibly.
I grow them for Stan.
Okay, so he. I guess last summer we were building up our tolerance to hot spicy because we were trying to use as many.
It's good
as
for you.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be very good for you
for sure.
So,
but some of it was a little over our hot limit.
Tolerance.
Yeah,
yes.
You can only be so hot around Valerie. That's for sure.
Thinking of things that are happening now, a newsletter came and Japanese beetles are here.
Already?
Have you seen any in the
yard? Not a
yet?
One.
Yeah, but
no.
I've had customers say they saw them.
What?
And there was a picture in the Maryland newsletter and said the beetles have arrived.
I haven't seen any.
So it's time to start scouting because, and I still think this is nature at work. When Japanese beetles start to eat a plant, the plant releases these volatiles, they call them.
Okay.
And that tells the other beetles that smorgasbord, the table's open, come eat. So,
well, why would the plant do that? Why didn't he?
Yeah, I don't get that part of it. So that is
like self-destruct.
Yeah. I don't know why, but anyhow, start picking and dropping your beetles in soapy water.
Hot soapy water. How do you keep it hot?
No, not hot, in just regular.
Oh, just regular soapy water.
Yeah.
And what's soapy water do?
They drowned.
Oh.
So somehow it cuts the resistance. I don't know.
So it's a natural way of getting rid of them instead
remember.
Of spraying pesticide.
Yes. So that works. Do you know what the scientific reason for this?
How would
soap?
I know that?
Yeah. I knew it last year. I've forgotten.
You did?
That's a bad thing about getting old. Some things just start leaking out.
Ew. That's the worst thing you've ever said on the air.
Sorry. But that's kind of true.
And we're having a lot of fun here at the Delmarva Potty Show.
Thanks. Take us out of here.
We'll be back after these announcements. Fran the Man is doing his thing up in Maine and then in Milford. Take it away, Fran. We're having fun, man.
Fine.
And he puts a toothpick in there to keep it all together, and then breads them and fries them. So thanks, Stan. That's that sounds delicious too. That could be a main course.
That could be for sure.
Sounds really good. And if
are you guys okay now?
We're
until she says something else again.
Yes. Well,
now who are you again?
Oh, I'm Valerie Cordry,
and
I'm sitting next to.
I'm pretty sure I'm not remembering.
And this is.
the Delmarva Potting Shed, and we're live here at East Coast Garden Center. If you'd like to join the fun, love for you to text like Dan just did. It's 302-839-1059, or call us because I enjoy talking to you, and that's 839-1059. Yes. Yeah, so would love to hear from you. And let's see, back to ideas. We took a trip, and whenever we went, it was our 40th wedding anniversary, and we went to Italy. So this was a big major deal. It's taken us 40 years to do this. But when we travel, we like to see what people do for their containers and for their yards, and what's hot in Italy. And I would say,
what would you say was hot in Italy?
Well, definitely, a lot of people only have a balcony to garden.
Well, one thing you got to realize, it was on the Amalfi Coast, so it's all mountain,
and
it's all cliffs.
On sides of cliffs.
So everything is terraced off the side of the mountain. There's no like open fields, like everything you think about around here is just a big open field, plant whatever you want. No, it's nothing like that.
So their gardens are terraced, and
right.
And a lot of the people that live in the towns don't have a an area to garden, so they balconies are very, they're beautiful.
They are.
Ivy geraniums are probably the number one plant. Wouldn't you say that?
I would say that's probably a good guess.
Because they're beautiful in window boxes and they cascade down. And I think that was the number one plant for balcony gardening. But a lot of balcony gardening, we saw a lot of kumquats because they can live in small pots. And certainly in the terracing, lemons were one of the most popular agricultural crop.
I've never walked anywhere where I just walked through thousands and thousands of lemon trees. It was ridiculous. It was beautiful. And all the lemon, all the lemon trees, they have to, they had all these big giant poles laying across the road. And I kept saying to the driver who was taking us to our hotel, why are all these poles up? What are they doing with all these poles? What they were doing, they were creating arbors over top the lemon trees to create shade for the lemons, because what they're trying to do with the lemons in a lot of cases is make a liqueur, which Valerie
lemoncello. I think it's cello.
Not lemon jello.
No, tastes like lemon jello a little bit, but it's a liqueur that you make with the lemon rind.
Yeah,
and they don't want the rinds to be scorched by the sun, because that rind's what they're using for this liqueur that they're famous for. So all these lemon trees are covered with shade cloth, which is phenomenal. When you look up the whole side of a mountain and all you see is shade cloth, it's crazy looking.
And I think they sometimes roll it out and then roll it back.
Depending on the day, like a cloudy day, they'll roll it back. And it also cuts down on insect activity, which is important for them too. So when they have it covered, the insects,
don't
have as much opportunity to get to the lemon trees.
And Dan said my family lives up on the coast. The lemon trees are for lemoncello that everybody makes. Yes, and everybody has, not everybody, but there's lots and lots of different family recipes. So and then there was one made with fennel. So there's different
fennelcello.
Fennelcello, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's wonderful, and lots of different recipes that include lemon in the recipes too. So
right.
That was olives were big, but they lots of olive
they weren't
trees,
in season
but they're
yet.
Not in season until
we
the
just
fall.
Missed the fig season. They're probably in full glory right now. Some of the figs are as big as bigger than golf balls by far.
There's
huge figs,
different varieties.
Whoa.
Of figs.
Yeah, they look great. We didn't get to try them because
but
they
olive
quite
oil
ready.
Is a major industry too, and one of our drivers he has a big garden, and I think a lot of people do that have the space, have their own private gardens that they garden and get a lot of produce for.
Right.
So he was talking about
making
harvesting
his own olive oil.
Yeah.
And he had 15 olive trees in his backyard.
So
he was making his own olive oil, and he made enough that he could not only make it for his family for the whole year, because they use it every day, but he also could give it and sell it to a lot of his friends and family. So,
this is still in the mountainous area?
No, this is more inland.
Oh,
he was an hour from the coast.
Okay.
So he was more inland.
Yeah, inland, it's not.
It gets flatter, obviously.
In areas. But and his wife also makes some wine.
Mm-hmm.
So they grew grapes. And That was, we decided we bought a grape this morning, a grapevine, because we were going to have it on our trellis so that it would provide some shade. And also, they're quite beautiful when it's up on the trellis and then the grapes hang down.
Right.
And so that was really pretty.
That'll be my project for today or tomorrow, is getting those two grapevines planted.
So I think whenever you travel, you definitely learn, and we'll probably throw in different things that we learned along the way. Oh, one of my favorite things from the trip was we took a trip to Mount Etna, which is an active volcano on the island of Sicily, and the volcanic soil around Mount Etna has nutrients that encourage the grapes to have some of the best flavors in the world. So we went to an organic farm, and I'll talk more about that after the break.
We have a caller that's going to hang on for us. Dropped. Call us back after the break. We'll be willing to take your questions and comments. And
we'll be back with the Potty Shed in a minute.
With Rick and Val and me.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Saturday, you're listening to Delmarva's only live and local gardening and horticultural show. It's the Delmarva Potting Shed on Delaware 105.9. I'm Valerie Cordry, sitting next to Rick Cordry and Fran at the controls, and Lawrence here as our steady, keeping us on track. So thank you to all.
We wanted to talk about the crab recipe again, because when you went through that, the music was playing pretty loud and maybe somebody missed it. Why don't you read that again?
Right. Dan, one of our listeners, texted us and said that he uses the squash blossoms. And so the other thing you can do is you can cut the zucchini and the blossom, and you're not losing anything or wasting anything.
Right.
And so he stuffs his zucchini blossom or squash blossom with a crab meat mixture, something like crab imperial, and then he puts a toothpick through it to keep it all in place, and then a tempura dip, and then you deep fry them. So thank you, Dan, for that. That sounds delicious. Or the one I had a ricotta mixture, if you don't eat seafood, so, or make up your own. But I thought it was a great
idea. Yeah, I don't know how hard it would be, because those blossoms are super delicate.
Well, they're delicate, but
you have to be careful the way you would fill them, I would think.
Yeah. So,
are you going to actually try it?
Yes.
When?
How about tonight?
Okay.
All right, because we have to go to the grocery store to get whatever we're going to put in the center of it.
Okay.
What were we talking about before that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about vines today.
Vines?
Vines. And we were walking around because we purchased a grapevine. And
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well.
Vines can be exciting.
Did you know there's three types of vines?
No.
Okay. There are the twiners.
The twiner.
The twiners.
Is that a whiner?
I don't think so. Well, yeah, wines.
Exactly.
Yes. That's
probably the kind of vine you would be.
I'd be a whiner.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, because that's a morning glory.
I was right.
Or a clematis, or those kind of one. And then there's the vine that has tendrils on it. So you have the vine, and then you have these little growths that come out, and they kind of squeeze.
That would
around.
Be me.
And yep, and that those little they're your little gripper. Like sweet peas and cucumbers.
That's me.
Yeah. So they attach by using these. Oh, did the caller? I'm going to stop right here. Thank you for calling. I'm glad you called back. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed.
How are you doing?
And
this is Eddie, the one that told you about the squash.
Ah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We are so happy. We so many times we've said, and I knew Eddie, and that's
I
what said, you
Eddie.
Said. Yeah, yeah. So thank you. We are
It actually worked, and I can't believe it. So thank you, thank you,
well,
thank you.
Little,
we've had no more. We've Go
I
ahead.
I was a little concerned because of the wet weather because you're fighting powdery mildew, too, you know. But
Right.
I'm glad it worked out for you. Did you get your kitchen matches around your pepper plants before it got too late?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Did you get your kitchen matches around your pepper plants before they got too big?
I haven't. No, I haven't done that. And I actually forgot about that tip. So is it too late to do it now?
Depends on how big you want to do them when they're pretty young. You're like 8 to 12 inches.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah, they're a little too big.
Usually after
now.
They harden off in the ground for about a week, what it does is it establishes a better root base as they get older and produce a lot. It stabilizes them better.
Wow.
You don't have a problem with them falling over. And also, I don't know if it's coincidence,
okay.
but I seem to have more a lot more female peppers that way. Usually like
8 to
20. So, you know,
wow, that's
better
awesome.
Stuff in peppers. So. Alrighty.
Have you got any tips? Let me ask you a question. Have you got any tips for the listeners that might be fooling with a Colorado potato beetle on either potatoes or eggplants? Have you had any luck with any way of naturally getting on your plants?
I use the best thing to do was to plant my eggplant at different ends in different spots in the garden because they're a natural attractor
okay.
and they attract everything. But,
right.
yes, the only thing that I have found that is really that people can get off the shelf, and the only place I know that you can get it, is at Ace Hardware. And it's called a beetle killer.
Okay.
And it does work. They have it set up to hook up to the garden hose. You have
right.
to do it every 3 or 4 days for a couple, you know, for about a week or so. And then it seems to catch, but I don't do it. I mix it stronger and put it in a sprayer.
Got you.
And,
okay. Well, we appreciate
the
input.
On the market.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling in.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye bye. It's nice when things are suggested and they actually work.
Yeah. So that's great.
And something natural too, which I love because nobody wants to spray anything on their vegetable garden.
Well, and after they've tried it themselves and
right,
it's worked
true and blue.
Our next
project, Val, is going to be figuring out what we can do naturally to spray on our blueberries to deter the birds.
Yes. Well, and then somebody texted in, but after the text, I have another thing about radishes. So where's the text? Val and Rick, glad you made it back safe. We missed you on Saturday mornings. We love you, Val and Rick, but Val better because she's more funny. And
you made that part up.
She's making that up.
She definitely put that line in there.
Rick, how does a man put up with a woman? Wait, that many years.
Yeah, it's a good question.
And it says, joking with Rick, Paul the B-boy.
Well, thank you, Paul.
The answer is, how do you put up with a woman for 40 years? The answer is, you don't answer that question. Because after 40 years, you've learned to keep your mouth shut.
I got a better answer.
Go for it.
You love her.
That works, too.
Thank you, thank you. Well, thank you for that text, too. Back to radishes. This morning,
I thought we were talking about blueberries.
Well, Eddie told us about the icicle radishes. And then this morning, and I have to finish reading the article, there was an article about radishes and nitrogen fixing, and they're going to use it as cover crops.
Oh.
So if you remind me, I'll finish reading the article, and we can talk about that next week, too.
And I am excited to pull one up because on the picture on the package that we planted, they look exactly like white icicles.
Yeah.
The radishes
yeah.
do. They're long and thin and just like an icicle and pure white.
What was the pretty radish, and I didn't plant them this year? That
watermelon radish.
Watermelon radish. Yeah, that was really pretty.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
So we were with the vines. We had a twiner. We had a tendril. And I guess, poor Lawrence, you're going to have to be the aerial roots then.
That's the only one left.
That's the only one left.
I'll take it.
Okay, aerial roots. And those are like these little gripper roots. And you know them when you see it. Thinking of climbing hydrangeas, thinking of ivy.
If you've seen
ivy growing up a wall, I mean, these little roots really
stick in.
Yes, and they can be damaging if on siding and cement. And if you plant one of those, you want it to be permanent because it's very difficult to get rid of it. But examples would be the climbing hydrangeas and the ivy. So, and then last week or one of the shows I had talked about that once they, we were talking about the tropicals, once they determine whether they're going to vine, twine, clockwise or counterclockwise, you can't change it. It's remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So they make up their minds.
Can be from, like, let's say a mandevilla. So a mandevilla can make up its mind whether it's going to go clockwise, counterclockwise, but the next mandevilla might make up its mind to do the opposite?
That would be a good question. I don't know.
Or is it by species they do it a certain way? Can each one be different?
It just says once it makes up that way, that's how it stays.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah. So when you're planting it, remember to plant it like 4 to 6 inches away from the pole because you want to have the roots to have some room to grow. And most of those you really need to attach lightly and loosely in the beginning to train
them. Started.
And then some of them just need training all the way. You know, some of them aren't that good at actually twining themselves.
Right.
The aerial roots not included. So that's it about vines.
Well, that's interesting.
There's a lot of nice vines here, though.
I mean,
we could go through a list of.
What's your favorite three vines?
The one we're out of right now, the red vine that's a
honeysuckle vine.
Yeah, the red. What's it called?
Major
now?
Wheeler.
Yeah, the Major Wheeler.
Okay. Which has been blooming at our house probably for a month and a half and still blooming.
Yeah, and it's still hard to beat some of the clematis.
They're pretty.
And I know I'm missing one that I.
You like the hydrangea vine for the shade.
And we're going to try. We have one on our back fence. But we're going to try training it up. We have huge trees because we have a forested lot, and they're old trees that we limbed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to be beautiful having the hydrangea vine grow up that.
And what's that one called?
That's a schizophragma, which is a false hydrangea vine, and this one has a pink blossom.
Mm.
So that's a little bit different. So hydrangea vines usually have white blossoms, usually have green leaves, but there are variegated ones too.
Okay.
And
trumpet vine's kind of nice, but it can get a little out of hand, and then wisteria is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it can get out of hand if it's not controlled, though.
And there's all different kinds of wisterias, too.
Right. We have some beautiful wisteria vines here.
And there's some jasmines that are fragrant. And
are they winter hardy?
The Carolina jasmine's probably the main one that would be.
Right.
And then there's tropical
ones. And then, you're right, there's all kinds of tropical vines that you can bring in for the season, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mandevilla and the, what's the white one? Stephanotis?
Yeah, Stephanotis.
We don't have those, do we?
Not this year. Yeah. They're
very, so fragrant.
Beautiful and fragrant.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you want to go into your amazing?
I didn't do any amazing this week.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh.
I did.
You did. Do you want to?
I don't know.
Wait.
Let's wait till after the break and then we'll do it.
Okay. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about our community days, what's happening
with
that.
Which started yesterday.
Yesterday, we had senators in here, right?
We did.
So I'll keep you on your edge of your seat.
If you could say it.
You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. I'll get my talking back in order, and we'll be back in a moment. Good morning. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed, and thank you for inviting us into your garden this morning. It's a nice day to have a tea in the garden.
Have a who in the garden?
A tea.
A tea?
A coffee, a tea. And you
that
and me.
That is strange. We're going to sit in the garden and drink a tea.
Yeah.
We've
Doesn't
never
that
done
sound
that
delightful?
In 40 years. 40 years we've never sat in the garden and drank a tea.
I have.
Not the two of us together.
No, no. Have you ever, have you, you drink iced tea?
Okay.
So, anyhow, Donna has joined us. And Donna, thank you for joining us. And thank you for a wonderful program that you have gotten off the ground. And I won't spoil the surprise. Maybe you can tell the listeners about what we're doing here at East Coast Garden
Center. Yeah, I'd love to. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Sun's coming out. It's going to be another beautiful day. It is trying to peek through. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes kind of sharing with everybody something that we've been working on a while here, trying to improve our community outreach, our engagement with all the different wonderful communities around this area. And so we actually started a little bit last year, and it's a community day at East Coast Garden Center. And we work with the people in the community to try and have a day that would be fun and interesting for them. And we realize that it's really, there's two groups of people that we want to touch out and reach. One is our existing customers, to have a special day for them where we can show appreciation for their business, for them coming in. But also, there's always so many new people moving to the area, is we want to have a way that we can reach out to new customers, share with them the experience of shopping at East Coast. And so to do that, we work with the community. We're doing this in kind of the off time so we can have more time devoted to it. So we have some communities that are coming in this week. Then we're planning more in the fall. But the way it works is for that day, we offer discounts that we normally don't offer at any other time. You know, I'm sure folks who shop here are aware that we have our senior discount. We have discounts to garden clubs.
Well, our senior discount is on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
And if you're 50 or older.
Older, 50 or older. Yeah, I should give the details. 50 or older. So it's a generous senior
window. Yes, you get
10% off.
10% off on plants.
Uh-huh. And then for military and for garden clubs, the 10% applies any day of the week. But again, it's a 10% on plants. So for the community day, it is a 20% discount, and it's on all plants and hard goods. So if you have that fountain that you've really been thinking about, or beautiful bird bath, you know, it just gives an opportunity to have a little bit broader shopping experience here. And the other thing that we've done with the community days is try to have an event that's tailored to the interest of the community. Sometimes that involves classes. Sometimes it involves a workshop, a hands-on, like a make-and-take container. We had senators in yesterday, and the group there did seasonal annuals, make-and-take container. We have Bayfront coming in today. And since that's my community, I'm looking eagerly forward to that one. And they're going to do a pollinator container. So nice mix of plants that will provide both the nectar and the larval food. Maria's got a lot of nice things planned with that. So, again, it's hopefully for our existing customers to show appreciation, and for new customers to let them have a good experience here at East Coast.
And tomorrow is our community.
Right.
We live in Winding Creek Village.
Sunday
is Winding Creek Village Community Day. Now, did they request a special class, or are they?
They decided that they were going to hold off on doing a class. It was just going to, you know, focus on the shopping itself. Mm-hmm. I think it was, with it being on a Sunday, it was probably a little bit harder to get people all organized, you know, for that. And then we've got several communities already that are teeing up for the fall. And matter of fact, Coastal Club has firmed up theirs.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and they have a really great idea. They want to do an instructional class around landscaping fundamentals, how to do things in your yard. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, we'll continue to work with other communities. So if any leaders of communities are out there listening, and we find that
how would they
contact Donna Price. I'm one of the managers here at East Coast Garden Center.
And what's her number?
302-945-3489.
How about a text? Could they text
you? They can text me at 716-545-8404. Or they can email me at info@eastcoastgardencenter.com.
And that's what I meant. I always say text and email wrong.
That's all right.
Yeah. So, and what was the email again?
Info, I-N-F-O, and then at eastcoastgardencenter.com.
Okay, so that's easy enough to remember. info@eastcoastgardencenter.com. Right. And if they'd want to communicate, some people prefer that rather than
right.
calling.
And,
so
you know, if you're in shopping, just ask for me. I'm usually here.
All right. Well, Donna, thanks so much.
Great.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute. It's the Delmarva Potting Shed.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
If you're not listening to the Susan Monday Show, then you're missing out on what your fellow Delawareans are saying about the president's zero tolerance policy on immigration.
The bottom line is, if you don't want to be separated from your children, don't break the law and come into the United States.
I think we're all somewhat empathetic because we're humans, but they don't want to put a border wall in, but they want to cry when families are separated at the border.
Do not separate them from the kids.
Here's Sumo weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Delaware 105.9. The critics agree.
That's just the sick world of Rob Sussman.
Yeah, why do you listen to Rob?
Because Rob's a really cool guy, man, and he gets to the point.
Oh no, someone ate fried chicken. I'm going to go cry about it on Twitter. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, you need to apologize because you ate Chick-fil-A during Pride Month. As an overpaid Huffington Post writer, I just have to chide everyone who's ever touched a Chick-fil-A.
Rob Sussman, 3 to 6 on Delaware 105.9. Rob Sussman.
90% of sports journalism is nonsense. Part of that is because you have to find a way to BS about something for 24 hours. And oftentimes, that involves putting out crackpot theories. The 10 locations LeBron James could go next after Cleveland. Number 12, the Milwaukee Bucks. Why? Because they have a young player. I mean, like, people get paid for this.
Rob Sussman, 3 to 6 on Delaware 105.9.
Thank you. Listening to Delaware 105.9 on your Amazon Echo is easy, thanks to Alexa.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
First, you need to enable the Delaware 105.9 skill by saying,
Alexa, enable Delaware 105.9 skill.
Once the skill is enabled, simply say,
Alexa, play Delaware 105.9.
In seconds, Alexa will connect you to our online stream to listen to Delaware 105.9 wherever you are.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I love talk radio and Delaware 105.9.
For more information, go to our website, Delaware 105.9.
Okay. All right. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. I don't know what you heard or if you heard any of what we had just been talking about.
Are we still on or are we not still on?
We're on. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Well,
we had to reboot.
We're here at East Coast Garden Center. And East Coast Garden Center has, as of Monday, has new hours. So we will be open 8 to 5 every day. Sunday will be 9 to 4. Now, tomorrow we're 9 to 5, but starting on Monday, we start our new hours. We're open 8 to 5. We used to be open till 6, but things are slowing down now, and that gives everybody a little more time in the evening, the people that work here, to enjoy their family time. Speaking of family time, we also will be closed Wednesday, July 4th. So the garden center, the landscaping office, the growing division, where everybody gets to enjoy their family on July 4th, Wednesday. And that's pretty much the details. Do you want to talk about your amazing topics?
Let's wait till the break.
Okay. All right. Well, I read today the horticultural industry makes the world a pretty and happy place. What do you think about that?
Say it again.
The horticultural industry makes the world a pretty and a happy place.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we had, I had said, I don't think anybody heard me, though, about Hawaii and what's happening there with the eruption of the volcano. 80% of Hawaii's orchid production has been wiped out.
That's terrible.
Yeah, really, really sad stories. One nursery owner, and they kind of reminded of us. Me of us, because it was a husband and wife, and their nursery was 28 years old, and the volcano erupted, and the lava reached their nursery, and it took out all their inventory, their home, the employee living quarters, and went all the way down to the beach house and into the ocean. So, $10 million in inventory was destroyed, which is just beyond words. There was a study in New Zealand, and they said that people who live in greener neighborhoods are less likely to develop asthma. So I kind of think that would make sense to me. So the greener your neighborhood, the less likely you are to develop asthma. There's just so many good benefits to trees and greenery.
Definitely.
And they did a study in Italy and in England about how light affect trees, you know, particularly in cities. And they said lights at night affect trees. And the trees that are closer to street lights, as opposed to this trees that are out in the country, retain their green leaves longer than trees that were away from the lights.
Because they think it's still sunny.
Yes, and so I thought that was interesting. So they said that they held on to their leaves a lot longer. So I thought that was interesting. And pollinators, we've talked so much about pollinators, and this week has been Pollinator Week, June 8th through the 24th.
Oh, wow.
So ending... It's pollen. Well, every day we should be pollinator day, but it was an official.
Did you see on Facebook where a lady made a pet out of a bee?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Hmm. The weirdest thing, the bee was walking up and down her hand, and
well,
they were friends.
There's all different kinds of bees, so.
And all kinds of different people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
But Maria today is doing a class on making a pollinator container.
Are you going to stay and listen?
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Or we're going to go home and plant some more tomatoes.
Or go home and take a nap.
That. Yeah, we'll see. Oh, peaches are now getting close to being in season. Mm. So I asked you this last year, so I'm going to see if you remember.
Who are you asking, me or Lawrence?
Whoever wants to answer.
Oh, it sounds like we're starting amazing.
So, no, this is just quick. The early peaches, the ones here that come on early, are the clingstone and the semi-cling. The clingstone and the semi-cling, which are the early peaches. peaches.
Right.
And then the later peaches are the Freestone. So what's the difference?
I know. You know, Lawrence?
Haven't got a clue.
One, the cling ones, the pit doesn't naturally separate from the fruit, where the Freestone is you like twist it, you cut the pit in half and kind of like twist it, the pit will actually remove almost itself.
So the cling
clings
and the free is free, yes. So but they taste similar.
They do?
Yeah. There's always a taste difference in varieties, but whether it clings to the pit or doesn't cling to the pit doesn't make the taste
different. I think I'll do an experiment.
Yeah, try
okay.
it. You'll
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you'll know immediately. Yeah.
Because the ones that are cling, I mean, you actually have to cut the flesh away from the pit.
Cling's not bad for eating, but if you're trying to make a pie or something, it's
or
a lot
fruit
quicker.
Salad,
yeah,
it's a lot
quicker with the Freestone.
Right.
And I went to the Delaware Nursery and Landscape Association quarterly meeting, and they always talk about what's happening in the community. Mm-hmm. It hasn't made it here yet, but they saw it in Virginia. There's a noxious weed called giant hogweed. Have you ever seen it?
I know what hogweed looks like, but I don't think I've ever seen this giant one.
Well, the sap from it causes skin and eye irritation, so you have to be careful. It looks like a giant Queen's Anne's lace, but Queen Anne's lace you see wild on the side of the road. Actually, giant hogweed can reach 15 feet tall.
Do you believe it?
Yeah. Well, I saw a picture of it. I haven't seen it myself, but
15 feet?
Yeah, and it said
weed?
Wow,
that's amazing, Lawrence.
Wow.
And then the flower it said was like fat can get as big as
I want to see this in real life.
Well, look it up online. So
no, I want to see it in real life. I don't believe it if it's online.
Well, you don't want it here because if it comes here, you can call the Department of Ag because they want to make sure it doesn't.
What do you do if you see it?
You don't touch it because you can get eye and skin irritations from it because the sap on it's really
is it like is it along roadsides and that is that where they're finding it?
Yeah, in fields and things. So
wow, never. I mean, hogweed's been around forever, but I've never heard of the giant hogweed.
Yeah, and they were still talking about winter damage. You know, people forget that we had that really wicked winter and then
wicked. That's one of Val's favorite words.
Wicked winter.
Yeah, she likes to say wicked.
Well, our big fig, which I love figs, were died down. It's root hardy, but the plant itself, we had to cut it all back, and so it's all flushing out from the roots.
You think we'll get even one fig this year?
Not from that, I don't think.
Well, that's the only one we had that gave us fruit last year.
No, we have we bought the dwarf fig.
Yeah, but why do those figs turn purple and then they're still hard as rocks?
Because they're not ripe yet.
Well, how do you know then?
When they get soft, they're ripe.
Well, there you go. So keep squeezing your figs and let me know when they're ready.
And later on in the season.
How many times have you squeezed that fig since it got on that plant?
Well, I hope. Be honest. I hope you're. It's how many times? Three.
Yeah. You've squeezed that actual fig three times.
Well, there's more than one on there, yes.
You squeeze the same one each time or a different one?
I don't keep track.
You don't?
But I try not to squeeze it too often because I don't think it's
good
for it.
Well, who wants to eat it after you've been squeezing on
and
it for weeks?
And that's a pet peeve is people that go to the grocery store and have to squeeze everything.
Like Mr. Whipple.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
Don't squeeze. It's charming.
Yeah. But other plants, and we've seen this, crepe myrtles really had a rough time of it.
Yeah.
I think some of them are going to have to be replaced. Even in our neighborhood, we were
I have a customer, Leroy Davis, in our neighborhood that he lost both his big crepe myrtles. We're having to take them out.
But there's like five in the entrance, and one's
pretty gone.
Yeah. And cut-leaf Japanese maples, and I don't remember them having such a hard time, but those are to name a few.
Right.
Well, we'll take a quick break. We've got lots of interesting things and maybe some amazing things when we come back. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed.
Good morning. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. I'm Rick Cordry, sitting here with Val Cordry. We're come to you every Saturday from 9 to 11 live at East Coast Garden Center. It's a great show. We have fun doing it. It's all about gardening. If you have any questions, you can dial 302 839-1059 or text us at 839-1059, and we'll try to answer your questions. We might not have the answers, but if we don't, we'll make up something.
Right. That's a good answer.
Yeah. So what do you think, Val? Can you make up answers if you don't like the question?
No. I learned that a long time ago. You don't make up answers. I'll say, I don't know. I'll find out and get back with you.
There you go.
Because I learn, they learn, and nobody's disappointed.
There you go.
So.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Knowing that you know a lot of answers is important.
No, I don't say I know them, but if I don't know them, thank goodness for books, the internet, good friends, people. In fact,
what do you think the one thing is that you learned the most? How you learned the most about gardening?
The one thing
that you collectively have done in your life that has taught you the most about gardening?
Working here.
That, yeah.
I think like working in
a classroom.
Yes, yeah, every day.
I was going to say it in our yard, because in our yard we kind of do like experimental things. Most of them have to do with plants, not everything. But it's kind of cool, because when you actually grow a plant or experience how a plant grows, you don't forget it. It's not like you're memorizing it. I used to hate taking tests. That was terrible. Because my short-term memory, I'd remember it long enough for the test, and then you lose it. But when you actually grow something or experience something in the garden, it's something that sticks with you forever. And
if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. And, you know, it's a learning. It's not a mistake. It's a
right.
learning
process.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say our garden at home or our landscape at home is what I would consider a normal landscape, because it's onesies of hundreds
of
different
things.
Well,
I wouldn't consider us normal.
Yeah, me either.
So it suits us. Do we have someone on the line? Oh, great. Thanks for listening and calling. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed.
Yes, this is Eddie. This is Eddie again, the one about the squash. I forgot to tell you guys, I thought that Chris and Christina did a really good job with the program last week.
Well, I can't wait to hear them. I'm waiting for the podcast to get up, because I'm dying to hear. And if you've missed a show, you can go on the website, the 105.9 website, and they have podcasts of all their shows, the Delmarva Potting Shed included, so you can go back and listen. So and when I travel, lots of times I put on the podcast, and that way I can catch up on things that I've missed. So thank you, and I'll pass that on to them.
I thought they did a good job, and I also heard Christine on Norm Short's program, the advertising. She's very well spoken.
Oh, I didn't know she was there. I'm going to have to find out about that one. That's news to me.
That was on In Touch with Delmarva.
Oh, yeah. Good. But was she? Yeah. What was she ever? What was she talking about? What was she talking about?
The Father's Day events and all that stuff. The events that you have going on.
Oh, fabulous! But yes, Christine is so knowledgeable. Well, a lot of people here are, but Christine loves her job, loves landscaping and the horticultural industry. So, thank you, and thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Good. Wow.
Yeah, that's nice
to hear they did. Maybe we should retire and let the younger kids take
over. No, don't retire.
Well, I've told them. I said they're the future. So
I'm willing to get my Saturdays back.
Well, we're at the point where I have no problem starting to turn over the reins.
Yeah. I hear you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so,
Italy, huh?
Both enjoy the horticultural industry and talking about it and bring in so many different avenues that they're interested in.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. They did a pretty good job. Excuse me. I'm getting all choked up. They did a very good job last week.
They're natural. I mean, both of them have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to gardening. So that's the first thing you need to have to do a show like this.
Yeah. So, Rick, tell me what you were working on this week.
Well, we figured it's been a while, Lawrence, since we've done an amazing, not amazing. So we thought we would maybe do one today. So today's amazing, not amazing is about summer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about summer for a couple minutes, and we're going to take a break. And then if I'm not done, we'll come back and finish up. But summer is, as we all know, just started this week. So I went through and looked at maybe some facts that maybe you haven't heard about that are related to summer. So the first thing I wrote down was, did you know that summer is the busiest time at the movie theaters?
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe not. I would have guessed winter. Yeah, me too.
That's usually when they call them the summer blockbusters.
Yeah, that's why they're all coming out now. Okay. Jurassic Park just came out. Yeah, they're trying to get all that summertime. People are off from school when they can get, you know, they can go to the movies during the day or in the evening and all that kind of stuff. In the United States, over 650 million people do long-distance trips in the summer. 650 million people travel in the summertime.
Man.
Okay, so here's a little quiz. U.S., United States, has the most popular summer vacations. Where do you think the most people go on vacation in the summer? Top five.
State parks.
State parks is number three.
Beach.
Beach is number one. Oh, yay, Lawrence.
Good.
Anywhere else you can think of?
Cities.
Cities, yep. A famous city is number two. Number four is a lake, which is kind of nice. I've never really been on a lake vacation.
Oh, yeah, they're nice. They can be really cool. Yeah.
And the last is a specific resort that you would go to. So you know what? We probably should take a little break, give you guys a chance to get another cup of coffee.
Or tea
in the garden. And when we come back, we'll finish up Amazing and Unamazing. Thanks for listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. I'm Rick Cordry, and Val Cordry sitting beside me, and Lawrence is at the control, and Fran's at the station, and we're having a good time here today, talking about all things gardening, and we were talking about amazing and not amazing, and Valerie actually, up to this point, has semi-stayed awake, which is really encouraging.
I had a good night's sleep last night.
Yeah, you must have. So we'll kind of finish it up quickly, Val, so you can get on to your other topics. But what do you two think is the most popular vacation activity once you get to your destination?
Well, we're talking about summertime, right?
Yep, summer. It's all summer. What do you think people like to do the most on vacation?
Read.
Nope, not even in the top five.
Good.
Eat.
Nope, not even in the top five.
Well, then they weren't truthful.
Well, okay. Valerie knows more about amazing than I do. You know what the number one thing people like to do on vacation?
Sleep.
Shopping.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of.
You know what number two is?
But I would think that would be 50-50 because women like to shop and men like to sit there and complain.
Well, we're still with you, even though we're complaining.
Have you ever been with me
shopping?
Yes,
I've been with you shopping. Okay. Another one that they like to do is swimming.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. Summertime, right?
They like to visit historical sites.
That makes a lot of sense.
Exploring national parks, which you'd mentioned before, and sightseeing tours.
How about visiting gardens?
How about that's not on the list?
How about it's a good idea?
How about if it's not on the list?
Okay.
You can start your own amazing list after I get finished. I thought this was pretty interesting. In the summer, okay, and we're talking about summer. In the summer, the heat, the metal on the Eiffel Tower heats up so much that it gets to be 6 inches taller because the metal expands.
Wow. That is amazing.
You got a wow with that one.
Oh, good.
It's tall enough as it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But it expands 6 inches taller in the summer because of the way the metal expands, which I thought that's kind of hard to imagine.
Yeah. Really?
Scientists say that babies that are born in summer are significantly more likely to suffer from mood swings than babies born in other seasons.
Why?
I have no idea. But that's a fact. Scientists agree to that.
I could see that.
Did you? Neither one of us are summer babies.
No, we're not.
So that's why we're sitting here and we're not moody.
That's why we're laughing.
Right. We're not moody. Ice cream. National Ice Cream Month is July. We're almost there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. Can I tell our ice cream story?
Okay, go ahead.
So we went to Italy, and, of course, gelato is wonderful. And so we ate gelato. But at the very end, we got pounds. Or not pounds.
Euros.
Because
we didn't gain any pounds.
No, we didn't gain any pounds.
Neither one of us gained an ounce.
But our last dinner, the check came, and I gave them my credit card, and they said, we don't take credit cards. So it took every bit of cash that we had.
Right.
And so we're in the airport, and Rick found
5 euros.
5 euros. So and we had 5 euros.
And you had 2 left.
Two coins. So we had 7 euros, and we had just enough to each get an ice cream cone before we left. So,
so we were totally broke.
To no money.
Wow.
So I don't know if anybody's ever figured out the finances down to the zero.
And you would think you could go somewhere and change in American money for euros, and it was, the hotel wouldn't do it, restaurants wouldn't do it, shops wouldn't do it. You had to find a specific place. It was a pain.
This was the last day, though. So
We were looking 2 or 3 days in advance because we knew we were getting low.
Okay,
so the average person eats 20 quarts of ice cream every year. 20 quarts.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
We eat ice cream.
What's the number one most popular flavor?
Chocolate.
Vanilla.
Ah.
Chocolate is a distant second, which I was surprised about that.
Well, you can do so many things with vanilla.
You can. Okay. Children tend to gain more weight in the summer than any other time of year. Do you know why?
Because they don't do nothing.
Because they're less active. And
now, that's a sad statement.
Isn't that terrible?
That's a sad statement.
I mean, in the summertime, we were kids. We were everywhere.
Yeah.
On our bikes, running,
swimming,
all around, playing.
Yeah.
Climbing trees.
Jumping around. Yeah. Also, not only are they less active, but one thing that contributes to overweight is inconsistent sleep.
I can see that.
And then the last one is they eat more junk food in the summer. So those three things contribute. All right, so we're going to go quickly through the 9 most hazardous summer injuries, what they're caused by. What's the number one thing that causes injuries in the summer?
Sunburn?
No, but that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Number one is playground equipment.
Oh.
Number two is kids on skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
Number three are our famous trampoline that we all had for our kids, and they all got hurt on them one way or another.
I think they kind of came and went in popularity.
Well, they were somewhat
dangerous.
Yeah, Chris, he dislocated his knee to the point where he had to have surgery, serious surgery on a trampoline.
But he already had hurt it. That just hurt it more.
Right. Number four, which is lawn mowers, which are related to what we do.
Ooh.
Wow.
Number five is being injured in an amusement park.
Ooh.
Number six is a BB gun or a pellet gun that kids get in the summertime, which I didn't think that many kids had those.
Me neither.
Yeah.
7 was getting hurt camping with a round of camping equipment like tents and umbrellas and all that stuff. 8
Now, that would be what they call primitive camping, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rather than glamping.
Not a 4-star hotel camp that I like. Number 8, which makes sense to me, is grills. You know how people get dumb around their grills. And number 9, which is also related to our industry.
Maybe they don't get dumb around their grills. Go ahead.
You know, jump right in there whenever you feel it.
Okay, go ahead.
And number 9, what do they do? If they don't get dumb around their grills, what do they do then?
They're dumb before they get to the grill.
Oh, so it's not the grill that makes them dumb. They're already dumb?
Right.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Like at our house, the chef...
What are you trying to say? Because I do all the grilling.
So you're saying I'm dumb
before I get to the grill? Why would you say that?
Because you said you only get dumb around the grill.
Well, maybe that's my only time that I lose a little bit of sanity.
Can't you feel the love? Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one, if I could possibly spit it out, would be garden tools or trimmers and things like that we use on a daily basis, too. Guess when the most dangerous time to go to the hospital is?
New Year's Eve.
Nope.
4th of July?
July. And you know why? Because most of the experienced medical graduates leave that time of year because they're graduated, and a lot of the doctors are on vacation in July.
Ooh.
So the death rate in July goes between 8% and 24% up if you go to the hospital in July.
Wow.
Ooh, I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, so don't make any plans.
Not next month.
No tennis.
Over 1,000 people set the record in Australia in 2012 for putting on sunscreen.
Oh, good.
And over almost 1,100 people set a record in 2012 in China for the most bikini people in a parade. I would have loved to have seen that parade.
A bikini parade?
In China?
In China?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Now that is amazing. In China?
Yeah, of all places.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, last question.
What were they celebrating?
They were trying to set a record.
Oh, okay.
It was in August in China, okay. August 19th, 2012. 1,085, I'm assuming they were all female, maybe not, I don't know. They all lined up and did a bikini parade to set the world record.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That would have been a super interesting parade.
I think we could break it.
You do?
I think they could get 1,000 people down in Delmarva area to bikini.
That's right.
1,000 whatever and one.
Just call the people from the beach.
No, you got to have 1,085. So you got to have 1,086.
Ah, piece of cake here.
All right, we're going to do it. All right, we might do that. And then this is a true or false question. The summer solstice is typically the longest and the warmest day of the year.
I say it's true.
The summer solstice is... Well,
not day, but
not day, day, hours of daylight. Is that what the trick question part of it is?
No, it's the longest and warmest day of the year. True or false?
I bet it's not the warmest.
I say true.
We got one true and
one false.
And why do you think it's not the warmest?
Because I think it has to, the heat is absorbed and it takes a while for it to.
Valerie is pretty much right. The reason it's not the warmest is because what makes this the warmest month is when the water temperature gets to the warmest degrees, and it doesn't happen until like August. So a lot of the air temperature is regulated by how warm the water temperature is. So
now, that doesn't make sense.
In June, it's just not gotten that warm yet.
I've been watching the news lately for the weather.
Right.
And they always talk about how the water temperature affects things.
Exactly. So that's it. That's it.
Amazing.
Back to you, Val.
That's
back
good.
To you.
And that's why a lot of the beach towns have those microclimates where you can get away with growing plants that are a little more intolerant to cold because of the
microclimate.
Yeah,
which, you know, I'm gonna ask what is that?
Right.
Oh, and I read this morning Wendy's, that hamburger chain Wendy's, is using only greenhouse grown tomatoes.
Why?
Well, they said the for a variety of reasons. It was the predictability, one was the taste and the quality, the quality assurance. They use less chemicals, and they can use local greenhouses.
Hmm.
So they've started now that they're using indoor greenhouses and hydroponic tomatoes.
Wow.
So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
And then I don't know why this was in the Morning Ag Report, but the world's oldest cat celebrated its 30th birthday.
There is no cat 30 years old.
It's called Rubble. He's a British cat.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, I do.
30 years old, a cat.
Yes, I do.
There's a picture of him, and he didn't look too bad.
He didn't?
Nope. So, let's talk about some low water plants, because we're getting into the dog days.
When you say low water, you mean?
Dog days of summer.
Are you going to let that out of the bag?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Who let the dogs out?
Let the dogs out of the bag.
So, we are playing around with an idea.
Probably in July.
Of a pet-related fun activity.
We're thinking about doing an event that the discounts of the things you would buy would be based on whether you show up with your pet or not.
Wow.
So it'll be like the dog days of summer or the cat days of summer or the parrot days of summer.
And that happened the other day. I wish we had called them over, but we had two women that came in, and they had
their parrots on their shoulders.
I saw them.
And they were pretty and very well-behaved.
Very.
And if we're going to bring our pet in, it's got to be in a fishbowl, because the only pet that we have
at this point
is a fish.
Yeah.
Goldie?
Well, we didn't really name them.
Is it a goldfish?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several different, but not all. And some of them, some of them are white, and some of them are black, and some of them
are
orange.
Yeah, they're all different colors.
We've got all different kinds of fish.
And then not koi.
Yeah, and then we were thinking, were thinking about doing our famous hot dogs because it's dog day of the summer.
That's what I thought that was coming.
Yeah, so we're going to put all this together, and by next Saturday, we're going to have a date.
I think that's one of the most frequently asked questions. Is
when are we going to have hot dogs? Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute. Live from East Coast Garden Center, it's the Delmarva Potting Shed, and it's Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your weekend, and it's full swing into summer, and everything's still beautiful here. Oh, we got a new shipment of houseplants in, too. I forgot to mention that.
So we need some more houseplants.
All kinds of beautiful houseplants. We need to do a little houseplant cleanup today, too.
Are you going to actually help me?
Yeah, I will. I like that part of it. Yes, I think
you won't, find another spot to work in.
Well, I might be cooking. Which would you rather have?
Actually, I'll do the plants if you do the cooking.
Yeah, so...
Yes,
that's a deal.
Yeah, that's...
Sounds
that's
good to me.
Sunday we usually have a family dinner, so I cook some extra things. So I was going to talk a little bit about low water plants because we're getting into the dog days of summer, and then we got off track. But portulaca is a good one.
Yep.
The common name for that is a moss rose? Had you heard that, moss rose?
Probably, but forgot.
Yeah. How about lantana?
That's also fantastic.
Really good. And there's different kinds of lantana. There's tall, medium, and short.
Right.
So you've got the regular ones, you've got the lucky series, and then you have the little luckies. So,
and then you have the standards.
And the standards, yes. Russian sage is another good one. Mm. And we've got different varieties. We've got the tall Russian sage and the dwarf Russian sage. So that's a good idea. I'm not going to tell the listeners what you just did.
I didn't do anything.
We've got vinca. Which also I think is pretty, once that's established, is pretty drought tolerant, wouldn't you say?
I would.
It's a pretty tough one.
Yes. Actually, I think it would probably be harmed more by too much water than not enough.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's a lot of the tropicals, which are used to that kind
Lawrence has a question.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask. With all the recent rain that we've been having.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I mean, what plants thrive in the rain and what plants don't?
Well, there's a whole list of plants which are great, the water garden plants that will, and that's what people, if they have low areas, and so then they'll make this water garden, and so they'll actually encourage the water to drain into this one area. And then it's not a huge list, but it's plants that will take water, but they'll also work without water, like an iris is one. What are those plants, the grape bulbs and the elephant ear, alocasia calocasias are good for that. The one with the berries on it, the
winterberry.
Winterberries
are great.
That works good.
So, and the crazy thing is, in a rain garden like she's talking about, sometimes it might have 6 inches of water that these plants are standing in, and if we don't have rain for 3 weeks, they might be bone dry. So think how tolerant those plants
they're
are.
They're tough plants.
They are tough.
So, so there's a plants, and coming up, maybe next week we'll talk a little bit about crepe myrtles because there's some, we've got a whole new series of crepe myrtles, the Bellinis.
Have you seen them?
I haven't seen
them blooming. Have you seen them since they started blooming?
No, we're going to have to,
we'll walk up there after the show.
Yes.
They're cool looking. So, they're miniatures. They only get 3 to 4 feet tall.
And that's the big thing is there are so many crepe myrtles out there that you don't need to crepe myrtle, your crepe myrtle.
Explain what that means.
A lot of people, and I think they've seen it, so they think that's what you're supposed to do. They cut their crepe myrtles way back so that they're just nubs, stubs. And that's bad for the plant because it weakens the plant and it just doesn't look pretty. So the idea is to plant a plant that look at the mature size and get the right size for your plant. If you're going to plant it under a electrical wire, you want to go, if what? what, 8 feet? What's the
8 to 10 feet?
Yeah, and there's a group of crepe myrtles that at maturity, that's all they get. But if you plant a 30-40 foot one, you have to keep trimming it every year, and that's not good.
I've been hearing that name so much within the last couple of weeks, and I had no idea what it looks like in my mind.
Oh, crepe myrtle?
So I'll have to go look at it.
Oh, okay. They call them the 90-day tree because they actually bloom for 90 days, which is a long
probably
time in
the plant blooming.
Probably the most blooming
plant for the summer.
Except for knockout roses.
Yeah, and, true.
Yeah, there's a few others.
There are some others.
But how about tree? It's probably the longest blooming tree.
I would say.
Safely, we could pretty much say that.
Right.
Yeah. It's fun. We're sitting here and we're watching we're inside the garden center today, and we'll get to see all the carts when people are finished shopping as they go by. And I just saw some.
It's like a bikini parade, except it's plants.
It was.
Yeah, right.
So that vine, that's an annual vine, the black-eyed Susan vine. Is it? A nice annual vine. We were talking about vines earlier. And black-eyed Susan's, the perennial black-eyed Susan, is a great plant. Because
they'll be coming into bloom soon.
That's strong, and it
July they'll come into bloom.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
That's one of the longer blooming perennials there are. If you're looking to put some perennials in your garden, black-eyed Susans are really tough, and they bloom for a fairly good amount of time.
So I think next week we need to talk about perennials.
Summer
perennials would be a good thing to talk about.
Why don't you start researching that as soon as we get home?
I already have a whole list.
You do?
I was going to talk about it today, and I forgot I was going to talk about it. So,
oh.
Yeah. But I want to end with some thoughts.
Okay.
And
you better hurry.
Yeah. I read a T-shirt today, and it said, kindness won't always change our circumstances, but it will change us. So in a world where we can be anything, be kind.
That was all on one T-shirt?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
So, and I also, this is sad, the columnist died, and it's Chris Hammer? I'm not sure how you said his last name, but he was a columnist.
I think it's Crosshammer or something.
And he was sad to leave, but I've lived life I intended to live. So I think those are interesting words to think about, because I hope you're living the life that you intend to live. Have a great week. We'll be back here next week. The Delmarva Potting Shed is finished for today.